All right, if you'd find your way to your seats, ladies and gentlemen, we've got a lot to cover in this Bible class hour. Thank you, adult teachers, for your grace and patience. This is an important lesson we're covering this week. Of course, Thanksgiving coming up, the most holy holiday that we have, and of course, the spiritual foundations of that little church that began in Scrooby, wound up at crossing the North Atlantic in the middle of winter. And of course, the importance of the Mayflower Compact, and that was the first time ever where a group of equals came together and constituted a limited government by which they would swear to be bound by the rule of law. There had been agreements before between aristocracy and nobles, between kings and nobles, with the Magna Carta and other agreements, but never before had a group of equals just constituted a government. So that was an important occasion, and of course, the great faith of our pilgrim forefathers. Great time of year to be studying about biblical principles of politics. But this morning, we're going to talk a little bit about what we're facing in the world and what we've experienced over the last 18 months. And with much prayer and great study, we are presenting and proposing a solution that we have begun to leak out and spread to significant, influential men and women across America. And we are going to really begin to launch this full-throatedly, beginning today and then through my trip to Florida, as I will be speaking to thousands of pastors in our network while I'm in the state of Florida. Remember, Winston Churchill was at least credited with saying, "Those that don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it." Well, there are some things that we want to avoid and some things that were good examples that we can, in fact, follow. Of course, recognize we talked this morning a little bit about the pilgrims. That was during the time of King James. After that, there were mostly oppressive kings as increased measures of tyranny were imposed and enforced upon the colonies, which weren't being treated as equal British citizens, but they were being treated as more or less a second-class tier of citizens to serve the mother country. But there were good times, there were bad times, but increasingly it was worse and worse. And of course, we are all well familiar with King George III, that was on the throne at the time that our forefathers declared their independence. There were many illegal acts. You say illegal, they violated the Magna Carta, they violated the English Bill of Rights. Basically, what was happening is the king and parliament were operating without any law governing them. We've talked about before, Washington does not have unlimited power. Washington only had, or supposed to have, limited powers delegated to them by the states. There is no authority to impose a vaccine mandate by hook or by crook. There is no authority to do most of what Washington does these days. Our forefathers recognized what was going on. An act that happened in 1766 called the Declaratory Act basically said that the king and parliament could do whatever they wanted to do, not only taxation-wise, but they were even talking about re-implementing the Anglican Church over the colonies. Well, things continued to escalate. You all are familiar in history with what's known as the Boston Massacre in 1770, the Boston Tea Party in 1773, and then after the Boston Tea Party, the king sought to discipline the colonies and imposed what were called the Intolerable Acts of Tyranny. In 1774, in September, representatives of 12 of the 13 colonies met in Carpenter's Hall in Philadelphia. Only Georgia didn't attend, and it's because their royal governor would not allow them to convene an assembly to elect delegates, so they couldn't. But great heroes of Americana met at Carpenter's Hall. And these men didn't have Facebook accounts. They couldn't travel by interstate. Most of these men, whether it be John Adams from up in Boston to George Washington from down in Virginia, had never actually met face to face. But understand, they gathered as loyal to king and country Englishmen that were trying to figure out how they could appeal to these tyrannical acts, how they could appeal to a tyrant to stop tyrannizing them and instead to reverse course and lead with a system of righteous justice. But these 13 colonies met 12 of the 13 colonies met for the first time in 1774 and attempted to resolve these differences within the rules, so-called. They attended to appeal to the king and attend to Parliament, and for the first time, the 13 colonies came together as a union called an association, and they issued a declaration of resolves and appealed to the king to change direction. They also made arrangements that they would meet again the following year if the king did not, in fact, change direction. Well, the following April, we have the first shots fired at Lexington and Concord, and things desperately took a turn for the worse. Well, the Second Continental Congress then went ahead and met in May, and they met at what we now know as Constitution Hall in Philadelphia. And understand that at this point in time, they were still loyal British subjects, loyal to king and country. And they were attempting with all they could to resolve these differences within the system. In other words, they asked for their state attorney generals to sue in court at this point in time. They were trying to operate within the system. And they issued what was called the Olive Branch Petition to King George. Again, appealing that he would stop what he was doing and change course, and they could be treated as full British citizens with the rights of their citizenship and be able to enjoy the fruits of liberty under the laws of nature and nature's God. But at the same time, they recognized where they were at politically. They weren't fools. So at the same time they issued this Olive Branch Petition, they also commissioned a certain gentleman farmer from Virginia named George Washington to go to Boston and organize those thousands of militia that were hanging out outside of Boston after the Battle of Lexington and Concord, and to form a Continental Army. So at one time, 1774, it was all just dealing with the courts, so to speak, trying to get resolution. 1775, they again made a last desperate attempt to appeal through the courts for resolution, but at the same time, they made plans for a nuclear option if the king refused to hear and insisted on implementing tyranny. Well, we know that the next time they got together, that the king had refused to even have the Olive Branch Petition read. When it was brought to his presence, he said, "Get it out of here." And he declared all 13 colonies to be in a state of rebellion. And at that point, they gathered again in Philadelphia and they issued their Declaration of Independence. Listen to these words. "When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature's God entitled them, laws of nature and nature's God entitled them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to this separation." We hold these truths to be obvious to everyone, to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. They are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. That means no government or individual can take them away. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that the whole purpose of government is to secure these rights. Deriving their just powers, this being the government, from the consent of the governed. And whenever, what's that next word say? What's that next word say? What's that next word say? Any form of government becomes destructive of these ends. It is, what's the next word say? The right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundations on such principles and organizing its powers in such forms as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind is more disposed to suffer while evils are tolerable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies. Such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having a direct object, the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. Then they stated 27 specific examples or grievances. And they wrapped it up with this. We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, in General Congress, assembled appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of their intentions, do in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and to do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do, and for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of Almighty God, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. For the first time in public, we're presenting to you this video and introducing you to our website and this new effort. Please watch this video through with 100% of your attention to understand exactly where we are today. This is not a typical Democrat-Republican being at odds. You all that are old enough to remember when Bill Clinton was in office. 1994, he got his fanny handed to him at the midterms. What did he do? Well, he wanted to get reelected. He was a political pragmatist. So he moderated. He moved to the middle. A couple of weeks ago on Tuesday night, you saw the Democrat Party get their hands handed to their fannies handed to them once again with what happened in Virginia and other states. And what was the response? They double down. Now, folks, here's what that should tell you. They intend that by 2022, it will be finished. They don't intend for there to be a relevant 2022 election. And it's not that Joe Biden is a wizard. Joe Biden doesn't even know where he is half the time. Everything that's going on inside D.C., we were introduced to the deep state during the last year of President Trump's administration. Now it's no longer something that's talked about as if it is a conspiracy. They have revealed themselves, and we know what's going on. Here's what you have to recognize. D.C. has been taken over completely by the deep state. Think of anything that they have done that has been for our benefit. That should not be a surprise. So we've got to remember this. D.C. is not the answer to our problems. D.C. is, in fact, responsible for most of our problems. Not that they're the masterminds, but again, they are pawns being used by the globalists. Watch this video. I'll wrap us up with just a couple of minutes, and we'll be done.
Now is the historical moment, the time, not only to fight severe virus, but to shape the system.
We have a unique but rapidly shrinking window of opportunity to learn lessons and reset ourselves on a more sustainable path.
What is it that would make it so that history would look at this crisis as the great opportunity for reset?
The Great Reset is a welcome recognition that this human tragedy must be a wake-up call.
The world's problems fit on three sides of a triangle. It's one versus many, man versus nature, and the unfortunate foundation is long-term versus short-term.
Any recovery stimulus should have green conditions attached to it.
We have to change our economy dramatically in the next 20 or 30 years, and the next 10 years is absolutely decisive.
The recovery has to be greener than any of the previous recoveries.
To state the obvious, we meet with the eyes of history upon us, and the profound questions before us. It's simple. Will we act? Will we do what is necessary? Will we seize the enormous opportunity before us? In an age where this pandemic has made so painfully clear that no nation can wall itself off from borderless threats, we know that none of us can escape the worst that's yet to come if we fail to seize this moment.
We're committed to conserving the majesty of God's creation and the natural beauty of our world. But to embrace the possibilities of tomorrow, we must reject the perennial prophets of doom and their predictions of the apocalypse. These alarmists always demand the same thing: absolute power to dominate, transform, and control every aspect of our lives. We will never let radical socialists destroy our economy, wreck our country.
Wise leaders always put the good of their own people and their own country first. The future does not belong to globalists. The future belongs to patriots.
The General Assembly routinely votes 185 against the United States on almost everything right now.
Clearly, I consider the Trump administration a danger to the world, but I regard it as a purely temporary phenomenon that will disappear in 2020.
Secondly, we're in a situation where we have put together, and you guys did it for our administration, the President Obama's administration before this. We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
So the currency system is in flux globally, and that's part of what's happening. It's part of why there's a demand for reset. In anticipation of this, though, for the last 20 or 30 years, the central banks have been moving significant money out of the sovereign governments. So we have known for many decades that there was going to be a problem when the baby boomers retired. And the reality is the central banks have moved that money out of the government. I call it the financial coup. And there's been tremendous funny business going on with federal accounts in the United States for a long time. And we're now in the consolidation where if all that money has been moved out of the government and the retirees want it, you need an excuse as to why it's not there. You know, enter the magic virus. So from a financial standpoint, COVID-19 is helping provide the air cover for the fact that many of the promises that have been made are not going to be kept. The Western democracies in the United States have been run with a two-pronged financial system. On one side, you have private banks with the central bank, the Federal Reserve, who are managing monetary policy. On the other side of the house, you have an electorate voting for representatives who manage the tax flow and the credits that relate to that, so the treasury market. So you have this balance of power between the people and the bankers. And now what is happening under the guise of COVID-19 is the bankers have decided they no longer want to share power with the electorate or the people's representatives, and whether through FASB 56 or levering the governments up so they're deeply in debt and dependent on the central banks, the central banks have decided essentially to take over. And the ultimate sort of completion of this will be when they introduce digital currencies controlled and operated by the central bank. Why is that important? Because they won't be currencies, Dell. They will be a financial control system. To implement that system, they need the vaccine passports. And the goal of the vaccine passports have nothing to do with health. They have to do with implementing a new digital financial transaction system, which is in essence complete control. So I call it a slavery system. Dr. Naomi Wolf said vaccine passports are the end of human liberty in the West, and she's absolutely right.
Our analysis on CBDC, in particular for the use of general use, we tend to establish the equivalence with cash, and there is a huge difference there. For example, in cash, we don't know, for example, who's using a $100 bill today. We don't know who is using a 1,000 peso bill today. A key difference with the CBDC is that central bank will have absolute control on the rules and regulations that will determine the use of that expression of central bank liability. And also, we will have the technology to enforce that. Those two issues are extremely important, and that makes a huge difference with respect to what cash is.
So this is what this means. You will no longer have a currency. You will have a credit at the company store. If they don't want you traveling more than 5 miles from your home, your credit card, your bank account won't work more than five miles from your home. If they don't want you, let's say they decided you shouldn't be able to buy pizza, you can't buy pizza. You're talking about complete control, you know, at a very intimate level of both surveillance, because remember, there's no privacy. They'll be able to track every transaction you make. So we're talking about a credit at the company store and literally a slavery system. So this is a plan. It is being engineered. I'm not saying it's 100, you know, they kind of make it up as they go. But if you look at who's responsible at the very top of the global financial system, they are in the room. If you look at the list of participants for the vote for the going direct and the people who put the plan together working for BlackRock, you can see a lot of those players. Now, you know, if you look at the whole going direct, to get the control, the financial control system into place with the passports, you need the pharmaceutical industry, you need the tech industry, you need the telecommunications industry. It's all part of putting together the smart grid, because the smart grid is the hardware and the infrastructure for this financial control grid. So the magic virus, and I'm not saying that there wasn't serious disease, and I'm not saying people weren't getting sick, and I'm not saying we don't have to deal with this, but I assure you The bigger play was a financial reengineering that has absolutely nothing to do with healthcare. Healthcare is the marketing plan for the reengineering of our governance and financial systems. This is a coup. In 1995, an effort was made to get the federal budget in balance, including the retirement obligations. And when it failed, it was described to me by one of the largest pension fund leaders in the country. He said, "You don't understand, they've given up on the country. They're moving all the money out starting in the fall," which was fall 1997, when the $21 trillion started to disappear. So literally, here's the reality. If this is the law of math and actuarial science. If you cannot get a financially responsible solution to your retirement benefits, then you have two choices. You can increase the retirement age, or you can lower life expectancy. It's pure math.
This is a world pandemic. It's a one in 100 year event. So you can expect that we will have transmission from time to time, and that's just the way it is. We've got to accept that this is the new world order.
So I want to talk to you today about the future of our species and really the future of life. We are probably one of the last generations of Homo sapiens. Within a century or two, Earth will be dominated by entities that are more different from us than we are different from Neanderthals or from chimpanzees. Because in the coming generations, we will learn how to engineer bodies and brains and minds. By hacking organisms, elites may gain the power to re-engineer the future of life itself. Because once you can hack something, you can usually also engineer it. And if indeed we succeed in hacking and engineering life, this will be not just the greatest revolution in the history of humanity. This will be the greatest revolution in biology since the very beginning of life 4 billion years ago. For 4 billion years, nothing fundamental changed in the basic rules of the game of life. All of life for 4 billion years, dinosaurs, amoebas, tomatoes, humans, all of life was subject to the laws of natural selection and to the laws of organic biochemistry. But this is now about to change. Science is replacing evolution by natural selection with evolution by intelligent design. Not the intelligent design of some god above the clouds, but our intelligent design and the intelligent design of our clouds, the IBM cloud, the Microsoft cloud, these are the new driving forces of evolution. And at the same time, science may enable life, after being confined for 4 billion years to the limited realm of organic compounds, science may enable life to break out into the inorganic realm. So after 4 billion years of organic life shaped by natural selection, we are entering the era of inorganic life shaped by intelligent design. This is why the ownership of data is so important. If we don't regulate it, a tiny elite may come to control not just the future of human societies, but the shape of life forms in the future. The big battle over what we today call privacy will be between privacy and health. Do you give access to what is happening inside your body and brain in exchange for far better healthcare? And my guess is that health will win, hands down. People will give up their privacy in exchange for healthcare, and maybe in many places they won't have a choice. I mean, they won't even get insurance if they are unwilling to give access to what is happening inside their bodies.
Right.
Now, what do you need in order to hack a human being? You need two things. You need a lot of computing power, and you need a lot of data, especially biometric data. Not data about what I buy or where I go, but data about what is happening inside my body and inside my brain. Let's say you live in North Korea, and you have to wear this bracelet, which constantly monitors what is happening inside your body, and you walk into a room, and you see the picture of the dear leader on the wall, and the bracelet can know what is happening to your brain, to your blood pressure, as you see this picture. So this really what is meant by a digital dictatorship.
I mean, it makes 1984 sound positively...
Child's play.
Child's play, yeah. Exactly.
I mean, it makes 1984 sound positively...
Child's play.
Child's play. Thank you.
What we see in America is not the accidental buffoonery of a senile man who's usurped the White House. Even a buffoon would accidentally get something right every now and then. The decisions being made are calculated and intended to destroy the dollar, destroy private property ownership, individual liberty, and to destroy American dominance. The goal is centralized power through the World Economic Forum and to replace the dollar with a new digital currency, the central bank digital currency. In other words, the goal is the Great Reset. If we enter the Great Reset, the dollar is done. Your life savings and your retirement, it'll all be gone. You'll own nothing. Meat will be a rare luxury. Mass transportation and high-density public housing will be required. You'll have a social credit score monitored by the government. You'll no longer have unalienable God-given rights. You'll be granted privileges by the government based upon your actions and your thoughts. We've seen even over the course of the last year, the government tell us which businesses are essential and which aren't, which can stay open and which must close. We've seen an election stolen without consequences. We've seen a general commit treason without consequences, a push for vaccine passports. In reality, ladies and gentlemen, we haven't been a republic in a while. We're actually an administrative state run by bureaucracies with initials like the EPA, the DHS, the DEA, and the IRS. But our republic was officially pronounced dead when the Supreme Court refused to hear the Texas lawsuit versus Georgia over election integrity. One of the few things that Article 3 of the Constitution actually said the Supreme Court was created to do, they decided to ignore. The connections between this president and China are well documented. D.C. is doing the bidding of the global leaders from the World Economic Forum. Going back to normal is not an option. The whole objective over the last 2 years was to establish the new normal. In 1787, when asked about the form of government that the people had been given, Benjamin Franklin famously replied to the inquisitive woman, "A republic, ma'am, if you can keep it." The United States is the Titanic, ladies and gentlemen. We've hit the iceberg. We are going down. There will be a new normal. But which new normal is still up to us? We either follow the White House and the bureaucratic deep state as all 50 states head into the Great Reset and we're finished, or imagine a confederation of free states that choose to hang on to the Declaration of Independence with a population of some 140 million people, an $8 trillion GDP, a true free market not run by bureaucracies, a blockchain currency owned by the people and not central banks that's actually backed by gold. Read the attached Declaration for Liberty. Pick it apart if you can, but consider the options. Then sign up and join us. In America, it's supposed to be we the people, and it can be again. I do believe the Lord's coming is soon, but if he tarries for 5 years or 10 years, I want my children and grandchildren to enjoy liberty, not slavery or even martyrdom. These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will shrink in the crisis. What will you do? Join us. We see a push for no borders. What do we see coming across our southern border? Mass migration. And understand, when the northern kingdom fell, what did the Assyrians do? They tried to merge the people with other cultures to erase their history and heritage. They brought in, you know, non-Jews into that area to try to make it something that it wasn't heretofore. We see them already attacking private property, which has been the goal of the last year. You are seeing the elite buying up with zero interest rate money all these businesses that have been forced out of business because of the pandemic over the last year. We've taken our national debt and we're approaching doubling it in 2 years. I mean, we've gone from 18 trillion, we've added 12 trillion plus just over a 2-year period. understand this is going to cause rapid inflation. This is not done for our best interest. The whole goal behind this is to collapse the dollar. They're currently trying to purge our military and other systems. Folks, when you hear them talking about the infrastructure deal, there's no infrastructure in it. This whole thing is nothing more than the Green New Deal. Ladies and gentlemen, reset is coming. As I've preached many times, we'd all just prefer the status quo. We're not the ones that are pushing this, but we better respond to it. There will be a reset, but we have the ability to control what that reset looks like. Now, in that presentation, we shared this. Free states versus socialist states. Imagine an existence where abortion was against the law, where we weren't being told how many gallons of water your toilet can hold or what kind of light bulbs you can use, where we actually had a gold-backed currency that had real value rather than monopoly money that we're currently printing at will. Imagine a true free market without everything being governed by groups with initials like the CDC or OSHA or the IRS or the EPA. Out of the gate, this would be the third largest economy on the planet. We'd have the second largest military on the planet, and we'd have freedom. Our children would be free. We would be free. We would enjoy religious liberty. And with a true free market, how long do you think it would take till this became the number one economy on the planet? Now, here's what's interesting. As I shared a little while ago, you noticed what happened from 1774 to 1775 to 1776. 1775, they were still trying to play within the rules. They weren't wanting separation for the most part, but they were wise enough to realize exactly what they were up against. And they said, we will not become enslaved. And they were preparing with a nuclear option. That's what commissioning General Washington was all about. Right now, we have 27 states, amazingly, the same 27 that we in our discussions had identified as potential free states. The exact same 27 states are now coming together, trying to play within the rules, and suing the federal government. But what if the courts don't come through? Do we just go over the Great Reset? Or better yet, you saw this last week, the Fifth District Court of Appeals ruled that the vaccine mandate was unconstitutional and put a stay on it. And what did President Biden's administration do? They said, we don't care. We're implementing it anyway. Understand, folks, we are not a representative government. How many in this room called our congressional representation and asked them to pass the infrastructure deal? Anybody here? Oh, so that wasn't our idea at all, was it? They're just imposing it on us, and we see where it leads. After church today, go to our website. It's very simple. There's not much on it. Got a couple of videos. One you just watched. Want you to share it with everybody you can. Watch it again. Watch this monopoly. We did not put together a monopoly, but it is excellent. And it goes hand in glove with what we're talking about. Then read the Declaration for Liberty and pick it apart. But if you can't actually object to it other than by emotion, then sign on and join with this effort. And then spread the word through social media with as many as we can. We have at least 80 million, I'd say more than half of the population of America thinks like we do. You just don't hear from us because we don't control education and we don't control the media. But please understand where we are right now. It's not, we're the Republicans, we're going to get it back in 2022. This has nothing to do with Republican and Democrat. This has nothing to do with American politics. This is globalism, global socialism. This is the Great Reset, and the fact that they have infiltrated and they control Washington, D.C. Donald Trump found that out. There is going to be a new normal. We either go over the falls blindly, pretending that this wasn't going on, or we stick a foot in the ground and say, hell no. Under no circumstances are my children and grandchildren going to be enslaved. And understand this, we have the opportunity. I don't know when the Lord's coming. Could be 5 minutes, could be 5 years, could be 25 years. But I know we're getting close. We've been on this from day one. I preached a message on May 3rd called Connecting the Dots. I called this a coup a year and a half ago. We, if the Lord tarries, in the Bible I don't see the Declaration of Independence, I don't see the Mayflower Crossing, the church age is hidden in the Old Testament. My hope and prayer is up until the time the Lord returns, we are able to maintain liberty. And we can. I don't find it anywhere in Scripture. I want to do everything I can to retain liberty for my congregation, for my family, for myself, for my children, for my grandchildren, for my great-grandchildren. And we can. As good as we think we have had it over the last 40 or 50 years, the next 20 could be the best ever with true freedom. The reality is we're probably in need of a reset. They're the ones that are bringing this to the table. Let's take control of the situation and let's make the best yet to come. And it doesn't have to end with bullets. Did you all remember when Great Britain voted to exit the European Union 7 or 8 years ago? It was called Brexit. The people voted, they seceded from the European Union. Do you remember that great war that followed? No. There doesn't have to be a great war. I don't want to rule Massachusetts. I don't want to rule California. If they want liberalism, if they want socialism, well, God bless them. Good luck with that. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. It won't be long till they're bankrupt, and we're going to be able to go in and buy some cheap property and absorb about 10 or 15 of those states back into freedom. This is a lot to digest, folks. I've said many times, I wish we were just dealing with the status quo. I'm approaching 60. I've tried to do things the right way. I've tried to just look to where I can enjoy the last 15 years of my life and play a lot of golf and enjoy my grandkids, but they are not going to allow us to do that. We're going to have to roll up our sleeves, and we're in a battle every day. These are the times that try men's souls. Are we sunshine soldiers? Nope. We're real warriors. May God bless our cause. Take this and read it and spread it.